Pleased to be joined today by Gene Orlando, the head coach of the Michigan State University men's tennis program. Welcome to the show, Gene.
Well, thanks for having me, Bill.
Give us a recap of how the season is going and the state of tennis at Michigan State University.
Well, we were fortunate, one, to have a season this year, and thankful for the Big Ten Conference and MSU supporting us. And we get to play an unbelievable schedule. When you just play the Big Ten Conference dual matches, it's one of the best conferences in the country. And I was super excited just to have that many quality matches. And so we're off to a good start. It's been a great improvement. The guys have really come a long way. The training in the fall and we weren't able to compete, but we took the challenge, and we were just, so excited to be able to be back together in September and train and work together. And we really missed it. And we stayed true to each other, and we had no COVID cases and just kept our bubble small, but the guys trained so hard. We came back in January. And did the exact same thing. We had 5 weeks of actually what we call training camp, and it prepared us for our first Big Ten matches. And our first match was against Minnesota, who's been a perennial top four team, and we beat them 4-3 with a dramatic win. Last match on 7-6 in the third, and we've had quite a few of those type of matches where you really have to empty the tank, and it's really hard to bounce back after you do that, and you have to play the next day or 48 hours later. Now, we've had quality wins over Minnesota, Purdue, Iowa, Nebraska, and super excited about the rest of the season coming up. But really feel good about where the program is right now. We have everyone coming back except for one senior, and the future looks really, really bright. And our Big Ten Player of the Week last week was Nick Williams. He went 4-0 at 2-0 in singles, at 2-0 in doubles at number one. And went 2-0 at number two singles. It was a great week. He clinched the match against Iowa. So it was, very fitting that he would get. He's a very hard worker, great student, and a great representative of our program.
That's really awesome. It has been a good season. And I think when the athletic directors were trying to figure out how to make sure that every sport had the opportunity to have a season this year. One of the things that became apparent was that for health and safety reasons and to try and eliminate as much of the risk of the pandemic as possible, we try and keep our competition as best we could limited to Big Ten programs. But there are some sports for whom that creates a real challenge, because the Big Ten is really an elite conference. And so when you look at sports like yours or wrestling or volleyball, or this year, men's basketball, you could have five or six, seven Big Ten teams that are really very highly with high national rankings. And that can make it a far more competitive or challenging season than it otherwise might be, when you could throw in a handful of more beatable opponents that allow you to maybe sort of get your win back. So I'm guessing this has been maybe one of the most challenging seasons that you've had in your long career.
For sure. And again, we're excited about it because we're a young program, and we're going to be tested week in, week out. And I think you improve the most when you're under the fire. And obviously there is a balance of winning and losing and controlling, how much a player might win and might lose, and how they respond from those moments is really crucial. Because, if you lose, and a lot of these guys coming in from high school, or they're not used to losing. They're used to being a top dog. But when they come in, lose on a Friday, lose on a Sunday, and then all of a sudden they're losing on a Friday, like, whoa. And tennis is a mental sport. You're an individual team sport, and you're on your own by yourself, and how you respond is crucial. But obviously we Coach Harry and I try to do our best, and the teammates, encouraging one another, supporting one another, and the upperclassmen coaching the younger guys up. Hey, you got to have short-term memory. But yeah, again, playing in the Big Ten Conference, there's no other conference like it to be able to compete with the best players. you know, so a lot of the players go on to play pro tennis and have success there as well. And, but again, to play, you know, each weekend with some of the best players and against the best teams in the country, it's fun, it's challenging, and it's nerve wracking. And you can't wait to, you know, you get to the end that you hope you're at the right spot in the finish line.
So Gene, let me shift gears on you and ask you a question about a personal question. You've been engaged in the game of tennis, probably every day for, the last 40 or 50 years of your life. How did you come to tennis? How did you first pick up a racket and discover that this was something that not only were you good at, but that you really enjoyed doing?
Well, I'll be honest, I don't want to take up too much of the time here, but I was a baseball player, basketball player, the traditional sports, back in probably the 70s. And my mom and dad both worked. And one day I was dropped off the babysitter's house and I had to go wherever they went. And they were going to tennis. So I got to drive along and I sat outside the fence. And one of the instructors just kind of entered and said, "Hey, would you like to play?" And I said, "Wow, yeah, sure." And they put the racket in my hand and I started playing. And I said, "Wow, I look pretty good. I felt pretty good about it, you know." And, you know, checking out the other people that I was with, I'm pretty good. But maybe it's just the hand-eye contact with the other sports. But I really kind of just fell in love right at that moment. And then the next thing you know, I started skipping some baseball practices and so I could play more tennis. And next thing I know, I was sitting on the bench at the baseball games and I said, "Okay, I'm just going to play tennis." And I just continued to, I came up through the Parks and Recreation program in Cincinnati, an NJTL program. And my goal was just to hopefully play high school tennis, and that became a reality. And then as I played high school tennis, I started seeing people that were going to play somewhere in college. I said, "Well, that would be fun. I'd love to do that." And obviously a lot of work goes into it. And I had the opportunity to play tennis at Ball State University, and we had a lot of success there. And my coach there, Bill Richards, was one of the top coaches in the country. And he helped groom me, and I was his GA for a year, and he helped position me to be a coach at Bowling Green State University. And ultimately, I was there for 3 years and ultimately was able to come here at Michigan State back in 1991.
So over that period of time, tennis has evolved in some pretty incredible ways. Thinking back to when I used to tag along with my mom for her tennis lessons, and you'd have a wooden racket that would be where you'd have a holder that you'd sort of have to tighten the screws and loosen the screws to make sure that the racket didn't warp or bend. How has the evolution of the game changed, from your perspective over the decades?
Well, obviously equipment has been transformational, from graphite, from wood rackets to graphite, has really, added a little more power to the game. I think physical training, back in, the 70s and the 80s and even the early 90s, training fitness wasn't really part of the game. And I feel like now it's a major part of the game. You throw in, the mental side, you have sports psychologists and, now you're having all of these different assets being into developing a tennis player. Before, it was not that. It was just the athlete learning on his own, doing the drills and competing. But now when you have all the athletic training to the fitness, to the mental side, and then to the development of someone's game, you're really kind of, coming up with an unbelievable player. So that's really kind of been the biggest changes. And I think back in the day, when I grew up, they thought about American tennis was like at its prime. You had Jimmy Connors, you had John McEnroe, and at USA was like supposedly was the best. And people will always say, what's happened to American tennis? Maybe especially on the men's side. The women's side's been very successful with Serena Williams and the new stars coming up. But I think back in that era, it was who was really playing. It was probably the Australians, it was the USA and the English and Wimbledon. But the rest of the country really wasn't exposed to the tennis, and now everyone is exposed to the tennis. and you got great players coming from everywhere. And now there's this extreme amount of competition. And I mean, I do think American tennis, men's side is going to be, we'll have our champion here sometime soon. But it's a world now. It's a world. It's world tennis, and not just a certain pockets of the world. So
that was, you actually anticipated my next question, which was thinking about the back to my childhood, as you mentioned, Jimmy Connors and McEnroe and Billie Jean King and Chris Everett on the women's side, and how women's tennis with the Williams sisters has sort of continued to evolve, but it seems like we've had that drop off on the men's side in the U.S. And I actually had a really interesting conversation about this with our women's golf coach, you know, Stacey Slobodnik-Stoll, and trying to understand why it is in women's golf that so many of the U.S. collegiate players are international. And Stacey explained to me that many countries have really put when golf became an Olympic sport, that many countries put a premium on being competitive in the Olympics. But the problem then becomes that the opportunity for the U.S. becomes that when those young people become of college age, they then have opportunities in the United States that they don't have in their home countries to play, not only to play competitively in this case in golf, but also to get a really great education, at no expense to them or a little expense to them at the collegiate level, something they couldn't get in the same way in their own country. Is that something that tennis has experienced? Do you see, have you seen over the last 10 or 20 years more of an influx of international student athletes in men's tennis collegiately?
For sure. There's quite a few, probably more than I would like, playing college tennis. And you know, it's a hot spot for me. I mean, I believe everyone should have the opportunity to play. But, you know, coming from trying to develop the game of tennis in America, I feel like we can't miss out on the opportunity to grow the game within, you know, Michigan, within, you know, the Midwest, within our country. Because the more players that we give the opportunity to play the game, to compete at this level, they will ultimately go on and share the game with many others. You know, some might be tennis pros, some might be just club players. But to me, for us to really grow this game, you know, it's really important to have, you know, American players. And obviously it's great. I think, you know, if you can mix in and just have, you know, maybe a sprinkle of you know, international players, I think that really kind of gives a great flavor for all the, you know, the players on your team to get international players to get a, you know, experience of American players. But it might be to a point where there's teams that are completely foreign, completely international, and again, it's about winning, right? It's about, you know, they have to put the best team out there, but for our program, you know, obviously we try to stay within the Michigan athletes and the Midwest, and try to develop them and give them the opportunities, you know, to be the best they can be, and the international players might bring in a little more experience. Okay, they might bring a little more experience because they're a little bit older, usually, and playing for their country. So they get some more opportunities, where a Michigan kid is playing the Midwest tournaments and growing as they improve and get to play higher level American tournaments. But they just come in with a little more experience. But I think by the end, we're able as USA players to, you know, get the experience. By the time they're junior, senior years, they're as competitive with that international player coming in. But I think it's great. It is a world sport. Like I was saying earlier, it is an international sport. But I think it's important, you know, for college teams to you know, give the opportunities to American players to grow this game and give everyone an opportunity to play the game.
Your team has, and you've had a strong emphasis on recruiting from the Midwest, recruiting from the state of Michigan. And, you know, tennis is one of those unique sports that is played, you know, can be played both indoors and outdoors. And so do you find that there are states or pockets of the country where you find better tennis players, where the high school tennis or club tennis is significantly better, or because you can play it as easily indoors as outdoors, is there in some states there might be a competitive disadvantage to being a northern state or a southern state depending on the sport. Is that true in tennis, or can you find good tennis players anywhere?
Well, I mean, I think nowadays you can probably find good tennis players anywhere. Obviously, it comes down to the opportunities to play indoors and have the coaching available at these facilities. You know, if we go back 25, 30 years ago, sure, it was the indoor facilities weren't as many. The pockets of training down in Florida, maybe training in California, or being down in the South where you were able to compete and play outside year-round was definitely an advantage. But now with the influx of indoor facilities and great coaches, I think it's kind of – you can really kind of train anywhere and become a player. I mean, obviously, you still have to invest, playing the tournaments and traveling and stuff like that. But nothing's cheap. But you still have players that might be living in East Lansing or wherever they might be, but they might train down in an academy down in Florida. They might train in an academy in South Carolina. There are premier academies that, kind of attract, some better players, will also attract, players that aren't, just to make the money. But there are many players that will go to these special academies to train and to, get to play with quality players year in and year out. But for the most part, I really feel like it's good to have a home base to where you can be with family and train. And then you still might, be able to go away for a long weekend or a week and train at these academies and come back. But I feel like you can't lose that base if you're in an academy for a year, 2 years, and you need support. You need family to really do big things. And if you're counting on someone else to be that for you, it's hard to reach your full potential. And I think it's a balance. I think you train wherever you are, where you live. And then as your game evolves, then your parents or coach will start giving you opportunities to have more experiences that will help you develop in your game.
So talking about playing indoors versus outdoors, do you and do the guys on the team have a preference? Do some people, is their game more suited towards indoors versus outdoors? Is it not really a big difference?
Well, I mean, it's a great question there, but it's great to play outdoors when you've played outdoors for quite a few days in a row, and it's and indoors when it's wintertime, the indoor facility here is awesome. The transition from going indoors to outside when you haven't been outside in 3 or 4 months, it's very tricky. It's cold, it's windy, there's no leaves in the trees. It's just such a different environment. And you can practice all you want. You can try to play your practice sets, but until you get into a match against someone else, another team, you just need that one or two matches to really make the transition from playing outdoor tennis to, from indoor tennis to outdoor tennis. And, that's where a lot of the teams, one of the disadvantages, is that these teams from the South, when we're competing here, we're playing an indoor season. Like this weekend, we played indoors. Well, a lot of teams have been playing outdoors for 2 or 3 months, or at least 2 months. And by the time we really get outside, it's almost like tournament time. It's late tournament time where they've already had 3 months of outdoor play. And we're just getting into maybe our third week. And when we go on the road, or they're, the NCAA Championships is playing in, let's say, Athens, Georgia, I mean, it could be 90 degrees there. It could be, and it's windy, and it's just a different. You have to acclimate, and it's not easy for the Midwest and northern schools. But we've had success, and Illinois won the national championship in 2003. Ohio State has made it to the finals twice. Illinois made it to the finals as well. It's been done. Again, it's just something that we have to overcome, and that's, again, that's more the mental side and everything like that.
So you've been at this a long time. What are your do you have a favorite memory or two over the years of your team's success or on or off the court?
Well, I would say obviously when we qualified for the NCAA tournament, and you know, we got to have the watch party, you know, Coach Izzo opened up his video room and we had it on a TV screen, and we were on the bubble. You know, and we was truly bubble. It wasn't like we were waiting for our name to be called. We knew it was going to happen. And then, you know, when our name was called, and that was pretty cool. And then I'll be honest with you, Bill, and it's some of my best memories is being with the team, you know, after they've returned as alumni, celebrating the success. One of the best moments I had, I'll be very honest, was when we celebrate our 1951 team, when you had – your uncle, Dave Mills, we recognize the 51 team. They were the first team that won the Big Ten championship for men's tennis, as well as our athletic department. And we had a celebration weekend. We brought them out on the basketball court at halftime, and to see their joy and see how touched they were and being part of that. Those are moments that really stick out to me the most. Just sharing the you know, being part of the past, even though I wasn't there, I felt like I was there, and you know, and sharing many moments with our past players, and you know, seeing their successes, and you know, every Big Ten win is always great as well, but the memories that I made and be able to see their success as they move on and other people's success is probably the best moments.
Now, that's one of my favorite trivia questions when I talk to alumni groups is what was Michigan State's first sport to win a Big Ten championship? And the answer, of course, is that 1951 men's tennis team. As you say, a team that's very close to my heart. My uncle Dave Mills was on that team, and really a special, very wonderful person. That was a great group of guys, and very special history as part of our program. So thank you for mentioning that. We're finding our way through this pandemic, has it? In some sports, it feels like it's been a little more challenging. I mean, you take a sport like wrestling where, you know, people are just sort of, you know, they're all over each other. I mean, that's what wrestling is. And so we've done daily testing and things like that. I would guess that in the sport of tennis, where you can, you know, keep people a significant distance apart while they're playing, you know, maybe the risk relative to your opponent is fairly modest, but it's still, you know, it still creates its set of challenges, I'm sure.
You know, one of our goals was to stay COVID free, and you know, we had to be responsible, and we, you know, obviously we knew how hard everyone worked, and we didn't want to take that opportunity from some of our teammates, and we really stressed, and we had some great leaders. We have great leaders that really stress the importance of keeping our bubble small and you know, being smart. And I mean, obviously anything can happen at any time, but our guys have done a great job. And yeah, you know, sure, it hasn't been easy. And we had our episode just like every other team, but we weathered the storm this is a challenge at hand, and how are we going to respond to this challenge? And you know, we can't look at it, oh, woe is us, or, you know, this, we're not going to be able to play the season, or we will be able to play the season. It's just, this is life, and you know, we got to do the right thing and do what's best for all of us. And I think the guys have done a really good job and treating it as if, you know, this could be our last match, you know, because you really don't know. You know, you could be sidelined, you know, or the team could be sidelined, and you know, just treat each day as an opportunity to get better, and knowing that there's no guarantee for tomorrow, and And, you know, when we compete on the weekend, I've been hearing it from the guys when they speak up. Hey, guys, we're leaving it all out there today because, you know, hopefully there might not be tomorrow. There's no guarantee for us. And that's kind of been the model of the last 2 weeks. And, you know, I'm thinking, you guys know something that I don't know. But, again, just being responsible. And the guys have done a great job. And I think we will be better because of this situation that we've been in the last year. Sure, it's tough, you know, living it and being it. But I think once we get past this, we'll look back and say, wow, this is what we did. And this is what we accomplished. And I'm in better because of it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. Joined today by Gene Orlando, the head men's tennis coach here at Michigan State University. And best of luck on the rest of your season.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.